And welcome back to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the Managing Director of Employer Services for the National Organization on Disability, Felicia Nirmsen. Hello there.
Good morning, Laura.
Give us the speed dating version of what is NOD?
National Organization on Disability is a 35-year-old nonprofit organization dedicated to helping business to really increase the competitive integrated employment of people with disabilities.
And how many are we talking about when we say persons with disability?
54 million people with disabilities in the United States alone.
That sounds like a lot of people, but let's discuss an in-depth, too. What's a disability for employment purposes?
You know, that's a really good question, Laura, because it really is that, you know, there's an expansive list of disabilities that are included under the ADA, but really it's an individual with a disability is defined by the ADA as a person who has a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. And major life activities are things like walking, communication, caring for oneself, and working. So you are covered under the ADA if you have one of those impairments that would substantially affect a major life activity.
I think most of us think, well, it's someone who's in a wheelchair, it has lost their sight or their hearing, etc. This is someone with advanced arthritis. This is someone who is having some mental health issues, and one in five of us will over the course of a lifetime, the averages say.
Exactly. It is. And thank you so much for that, Laura, because I think it really is important to understand that, yes, it is all of those things that we immediately think of when we think about disability, but it's also those things you talked about, mental health concerns, diabetes, things, multiple sclerosis. There are hidden, non-visible disabilities that we may never think of as a disability, but they are included and covered under the ADA.
A lot of these are not something that you are born with. There's something that's going to develop. Mm-hmm. This is an aging issue too now.
It is. 80% of disabilities are actually the result of age, illness, or injury. So in the workforce, we really do have to understand how to work with people with disabilities, not just with people with those major disabilities that we consider, but really that aging person that's in the workforce. And how do we retain that person? How do we make the necessary adjustments or accommodations so that person can stay in the workforce for as long as they want to? We know that people are not retiring at 65, 67. We continue to work. And how do we hold on and retain that person and their knowledge and their skills and qualifications? And it really is about understanding disability more greatly.
So let's go into what is NOD then?
And you know, NOD really does help businesses to work with people with disabilities. It's not just about how to attract and hire people with disabilities, but attract, hire, retain, and promote people with disabilities that can work side by side with our non-disabled peers, having the same level of expectation as our non-disabled peers, and really, you know, not lowering our level of expectation when we think about working with people of all abilities.
Is it just concentrated on the business situation, or do you go into housing, recreation, social opportunities for everyone?
You know, when we started, Laura, 35 years ago, we did so many different things regarding people with disabilities, you know, as public, working on public policy, advocacy work, really having our hands in a lot of different aspects of disability. And in the last 10 years, we really have focused specifically on increasing competitive integrated employment of people with disabilities. And the reason why I say that in that way is that it's very important to understand that there are still companies, organizations, et cetera, that are taking advantage of a long-standing law where we can actually pay people less than minimum wage. Some people within what is commonly referred to as sheltered workshops can actually be paid pennies on the dollar for work. And that's why it's very important for people to understand that we are for competitive integrated employment of people with disabilities so that we are making the same wage for the same work as our non-disabled peers.
Businesses, though, are taking advantage of this?
There are some businesses that will take advantage of this. And it's not, you know, I think that because it is legal, it's absolutely legal. And we may not think of it. I will say that I have toured facilities where there have been supervisors and there are people there that are very proud to have people working with, you know, they point out that they have significant disabilities and they're really doing well in this environment, but they are a sheltered workshop. They are making less than minimum wage, but they really are very proud. They don't see it from that perspective. They see it that this person is here, they're part of something, they're part of our workforce, even though it's separate. And they are producing whatever that product is or producing, you know, being productive. So I don't think that it's necessarily there's anything nefarious there as much as it is just we've always done it this way.
You just touched on something, though, that we've discussed before on the show when talking to NOD, and that is the poverty level among people who are disabled. And it does range, but it's somebody who is living on disability, and this is something that's just supplementing what they make, and they are doing it for social and activity purposes. But then there is the person who is receiving some type of a disability income, but is stuck at a terribly low level of income because they cannot find work to bring them up.
Right. Now, you know, that really, it raises a good point, Laura, because we are coming up on the 30th anniversary of the ADA, and employment still remains one of the greatest challenges that we have when we look at people with disabilities and understanding the value of this untapped talent pool for business. Because you are exactly right. People with disabilities are living at or below the poverty line with just receiving disability benefits. Over 20 million people in the United States are between the ages of 16 and 64, and they are looking for work. They want to go to work because they know that this is not the life they would choose, just living on disability benefits. They would like to participate in the workforce. They would like to be productive and can be productive, very productive. What we see when we see people enter the workforce, people with disabilities, is studies have been completed that show that we can be as productive or more productive as our non-disabled peers, and we actually have a higher retention rate. And what that can do for some businesses results in hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings. When we think about businesses that have incredibly high rates of churn, and we bring in people with disabilities, and a retention rate goes from 20% to 40%. If you can double your retention rate, what that says is you really have a great workforce now. We also see that it affects our non-disabled peers. We have a much happier workforce, if you will. I don't always like to use that term because, you know, some of us think, well, you know, that's a great thing to say, but how do we measure that? And how do you measure that is that our non-disabled peers become more productive. When we're happier at work, we're more productive at work. So we do see that there are several different benefits of bringing people with disabilities into our workforce.
You know, when I alluded to other aspects of your life, transportation and housing is a big impediment to getting a job, too. If there's no way to get to your work because you don't have a bus route, or there are no curbs, or it's not accessible. And of course, the Delaware Valley is full of buildings that has been grandfathered into a lot of things because they're too narrow. They can't have elevators, or they can't get a ramp installed, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And that it continues to be an issue, particularly as it relates to transportation. This is a challenge in, you know, like you said, in areas like this where things are grandfathered in, there may not be transportation from our more rural communities, and it is more affordable to live in a rural community versus a metro community where you do have various opportunities to take advantage of public transportation. That is something that we continue to talk about, that we continue to bring to the forefront. And really, that is something that we bring our businesses to the table to talk about those challenges, because we do feel that if we can drive this from the business perspective, we have a greater chance of being successful. If we can all come together and collaborate on these solutions and really drive this home with our community leaders, with government, help them to understand that businesses are suffering as a result of the lack of transportation, not just for people with disabilities, but in general. There are some places where we have set up very large distribution centers in more of a campus environment for various companies that will take advantage of tax breaks, and then we can't bring the workforce to them, right? There's no bus stop.
And if when you get these more rural employment campuses, there's no housing around them, especially if you're disabled. Say you are living out there. Well, there, where are your other resources that you need?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's important to think about those aspects as it relates to employment specifically, because if we can identify this untapped talent pool, however, if there's no way for them to get to work, right? And it's not really a question that you ask. You just you assume if a person is interviewing with you that there is a way for them to get to work. But it is something that we have to think about before we even get to that stage. How are we going to transport people? We just worked with a large distribution center in Kansas, and that's an issue. That was an issue that we talked about from the business perspective and working with various service providers around the table is we have a great need. This company would love to hire up to 200 people with disabilities. I'm very open to this. But the challenge is, where do they live? They live 45 minutes to an hour away. How do we get them here? And then really the services around, how do we support them once they are here? So good questions, Laura. Again, you know, they're challenges that we have. They're challenges that we work on together. And one of the things that we have focused on just recently is we are very fortunate to have the former governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge, as the chairperson of our board of directors. And we have in the last year convened a roundtable of all 12 of the largest service organizations in the country that are dedicated to serving people with disabilities from all aspects of life and work. And by bringing everyone together, we have a collective effort to address some of these issues where we have not done this in the past. And right now we are specifically focused on 14C, which is that ability and the law that we can pay people with disabilities sub-minimum wage. And then the enforcement of Section 503 are really the two things that we are working on now. But talking about those challenges together and understanding that we can bring 40 million people to the table, right? 40 million people with disabilities are represented by these 12 or 13 organizations working together. And really how, when we can come together, we can overcome those challenges. But we do have to, again, think about, you know, working on those things that we know we can accomplish. And then looking at what do we do in the future? How do we continue to leverage this really great impact that we can have together collectively, and what would be the what's next for us, right?
What are your protections if you become disabled on the job, if you self-identify after you've been hired and you honestly did not know that you might need one, or something occurs and suddenly a problem that had been a minor inconvenience before now does affect your ability to work?
You know, actually, you know, we would hope that the person would go to their human resources office. That would be where we would want them to go. But honestly, it's about 90% of people with disabilities who do disclose at work will disclose to their supervisor or hiring manager. That's why education is so important, so that all of our employees understand how to work side by side, how to supervise and manage a person with a disability, and what to do in that situation. Because it would be that you would work with human resources to help this person to receive whatever accommodation it is that would be necessary for them to be successful. It is what's known as the interactive process. You would enter into the interactive process, which really is informal. It should be informal in nature. The person that has self-identified as a person with a disability and requested the accommodation is involved. The hiring manager can be involved to some extent, but really it comes down to human resources then taking it from there, having this person fill out whatever paperwork is necessary to go through the accommodation process. At this time, they can actually request medical documentation to ensure that, yes, it is actually a medically documented disability, and include the medical professional in the process of understanding what is this? What is the accommodation, and how is it actually going to help this person to be successful?
I'm Laura Lewis, and this is Our Delaware Valley. With us today, Felicia Nurmsen. She is the Managing Director of Employment Services for the National Organization on Disability, NOD. And you find them at NOD.org. I've been looking at the downside so far. Let's look at the pro side. What are the advantages to hiring? You already mentioned retention and employment, mm-hmm. overall happiness.
You know, some of the advantages that we have seen, and again, there have been several studies that have been done, is that people actually want to do business with companies that hire people with disabilities. It's over 90% of people that were surveyed in a, I think it's UMass Boston study that was completed several years ago. Over 90% of people wanted to do business with a company that hires people with disabilities. People with disabilities are the third largest market segment in the country. So that is a huge market for businesses to market to. Untapped talent pool, as well as the potential for revenue, to increase revenue. How do we do that? By offering products that are attractive to people with disabilities. And we develop those products by including people with disabilities in the innovation process, making sure that we have an equal opportunity to participate at the table with innovating for new products, new services that people with disabilities would find very helpful, that they would find something they want to buy. When we think about texting, we're all texting now, right? Texting was actually invented by someone who is deaf. Curb cuts, right? We all take advantage of that. The buttons, you know, for handicapped entrance, you know, with the button. How many of us use that? And that it's just a really great business practice to have that within your building. We use it all the time.
All of these things are great advantages to everyone, especially to an aging population. Even if you don't become disabled, they're advantages.
Exactly. Exactly. And the only way that we really can hope to achieve the greatest innovation is when we have all of those voices at the table participating. The business advantage, they're, again, thinking, you know, of the studies that have been completed and looking at, you know, the various companies. I think Target does a great job with their marketing. When you look at their flyers and you see the children with special needs and disabilities in the Halloween costumes, right? They do it every year. It's a great marketing opportunity for them. But it is a way for our businesses to showcase that not only do they market to people with disabilities, but they do believe that disability inclusion is an integral part of their diversity and inclusion policies, process, pillars, however we refer to it within the company. Disability has not always been. That is something that is relatively new in the last 10 years. There's still challenges there with including disability as part of our diversity and inclusion policies, practices within companies, but we are making progress. And that's one way to show and to for us to be able to see that is when companies clearly show people with disabilities in their marketing materials in major marketing campaigns.
How does a business go about the hiring process? How do they get started developing this talent pool?
Yeah, that's a great question, Laura, and really one of the things that we talk about with business on an ongoing basis is using some tool to measure where you are now, right? It is just a best business practice historically that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right? So we want people to use a tool. We have the Disability Employment Tracker. There are several tools out there. It just depends on really what you would specifically like to focus on. Ours focuses only on employment and the workplace. Other tools will look at, you know, several different aspects of disability inclusion. So to your point earlier, you know, how do we know really, you know, what's the some of the best practices? It will look at workplace, supplier diversity, whether or not you have some supplier diversity programs, as well as how you market to the population. But it really is important so that you can look, you can see where are you now as far as your disability inclusion practice is concerned? Where are your strengths and where do you have opportunities to improve?
And once you've decided that you do want to develop this pool, is there any difference in the hiring process?
There can be. You know, we see now, and one of the things that really has gained a lot of traction in the market right now in thinking about people with disabilities is autism-specific programs. Some fairly large, very well-recognized brands in the business community have recognized the value of autistic people in the workforce, and they have created really fantastic autism at work programs. But what they have done in order to be successful is really something that we are hoping will be used for inclusion of all people with disabilities. And that is they have changed their hiring practice. entirely in order to bring people that are on the autism spectrum into the workplace. And that is a significant investment and a significant change for companies like Microsoft, EY, JP Morgan Chase, are just a few of the companies, SAP, that have taken this on and are doing a really great job. But that is something that we would look at very positively, that they have made this investment and they are seeing the positive changes as a result of that. And it is a change. It changes how they hire people, how they interview people. They are including this. Some companies have maybe a 2-week process where someone can come in. They are paid, but it is part of the onboarding process. And it's kind of a try before you buy, just like a temporary service would be. But really, it is a very well supported transition into the workplace. There is no guarantee of employment for people that are going through this process, but it is the opportunity for people to come in and show, clearly demonstrate how they can add value to the workforce. So that's a very exciting change that's occurring right now. And it is different. It is a different way of hiring.
Well, what about hiring engagements?
Yes. You know, we do, as part of our consulting services, we have a long history and really some great success in, again, supporting businesses to hire people with disabilities. And what that includes an understanding, and this is very important, all recruitment is local. So partnering with a business so that we can go into a local community, one of their local facilities, and help them to build a disability hiring program from the ground up. We evaluate their policies. We have a business that we will be working with in the Camp Hill area to expand a program that we've been doing in Kansas for them. And that is by looking at their policies, their hiring process, et cetera, ensuring that it is accessible for people with disabilities. And then we come in and we look at the local provider network. So those local organizations that are supporting people with disabilities with direct services, we evaluate those organizations and help the company to make the best decision to develop those partnerships. So it's exciting that we'll be working here in Camp Hill as well.
Accommodation is expense, and is the fear of accommodation problems keeping some people from making the jump?
It is, absolutely. That really is still one of the myths that continues in the workplace, is that accommodations are expensive. With the really some of the advances that we have seen in technology, it's just incredible. And I like to think about Dragon Systems, which is a speech technologies, speech to text technology. I'll date myself here, but I was, I remember when that first came out, and it was incredibly expensive to launch for various different reasons. Now, I think it was $10,000 then, maybe 15, 20 years ago when it first came out. Now it's like $80. For a company to purchase Dragon software for speech to text. That's just one example that, you know, I can think of off the top of my head, but a really great resource, and they have been a fantastic partner for us at the National Organization on Disability, is the Job Accommodation Network. Their website is askjan.org, and that is a fantastic resource for companies to go to if they have questions about disability, about accommodations. They also do a study every year around the cost of accommodations, and every year they find that the average accommodation costs less than $500 to make within the workplace.
Now, are there any other pecuniary advantages for hiring? Are there tax breaks?
There is a tax incentive that companies can take advantage of in hiring people with disabilities. They do have to have a medically documented disability. There is a form, obviously, that they would need to fill out, and it is through the state, and there is some other federally funded tax incentives that companies can take advantage of.
Well, you're a national organization. Are there some states that do better at getting the disabled into jobs than others?
There are. And there is a study that is done, again, every year that looks at what are the top states that are putting people to work. I believe last year it was one of the Dakotas, if not both of the Dakotas. And that is because they have the lowest unemployment rates in the country. So they're at 2% or less. And companies there are really looking at every potential untapped population that they can in order to be able to fill the positions that they have open.
I'm dying to ask, what do they do in the Dakotas? But what instead I will ask is, the low employment rate, is that helping right now?
You know, it is. We thought that it would help more, but we are seeing that companies are definitely coming to us now talking about readiness activities. And what we include as readiness activities is, do you have any training programs that are available? The answer is yes. We do offer various training for companies, everything from disability awareness to interviewing and performance discussions with people with disabilities. So people are looking at that. People are coming to us and taking the tracker and taking advantage of the free consulting that we provide and the free scorecard that they receive as a part of the disability employment tracker. Engaging with us and other companies, with our partners, with those organizations that I talked about earlier that we're partnering with. We do see that companies are interested, that they are beginning to really listen and think about how do we fill these positions that we have and that we do not have the people that we need. Things are changing. We thought it would maybe happen a little bit more rapidly than it has, but we are encouraged.
Internships. Is getting somebody into employment earlier more important when we're talking about the lower ages, the lower age groups?
It is, absolutely. And thank you for that, Laura, because we actually have a pilot project going on in Massachusetts right now, which is Campus to Careers. And that is working with employers, colleges and universities, and students with disabilities to transition to employment. And one of the things that our businesses are talking about is they want to start working with students their freshman year to really bring them in, take advantage of those internships so that they can understand exactly what the workforce looks like, understand what the business is, and make informed decisions. And they would hope that that student, when they make the investment, that they would continue throughout their college career with various internships and opportunities with their company. Some are going into high school now. Right. So starting earlier, and this is a conversation that we're having at various levels, is helping students and parents understand that a student with a disability, once they graduate from high school, that's not it. They can and should be going to college, completing their college education and going to work if that's not the path that they want to take. Just like for students and our non-disabled students, then we should be looking at how can we help them to transition to work and what does that look like. But it should be starting earlier. We should be taking advantage of those mentoring opportunities, internships, etc., and ensuring that students with disabilities are able to participate equally in those opportunities.
If I am disabled or I want to disclose, or if I'm a business looking to hire more into this pool, what do you offer for us when we go to your website?
You know, for people with disabilities that are looking for resources, we do have a resources page that they can take advantage of. For companies, we offer a whole host of services, everything from becoming a member of our Corporate Leadership Council, which is a benefit that allows you to not only network with other companies and learn best practices, but we do hold 3 events a year. It's about understanding how to utilize your employee resource groups to influence within the organization. We also have a fantastic campaign, an awareness campaign right now, which is Look Closer. And that is really about reducing stigma, increasing awareness of people with disabilities in the workforce, with larger companies participating in that. And then there are a whole host of consulting services, best case studies that you can look at as well.
And so, of course, for all of this, we go to NOD.org.
Yes.
Go to NOD.org for the National Organization on Disability. And here's where I say thanks to the Managing Director of Employer Services, Felicia Nurmsen. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having us, Laura. It's been a pleasure.
Always welcome back. Again, go to NOD.org for the National Organization on Disability. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.